It's great to have Chris Landry on from LandryFootball.com. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Doing great. You know, the season ends and fans say, oh, gee, there's no football until next September. But the reality is this is such a busy time for NFL teams. And I think fans would be interested if you would kind of take us into a front office right now and tell us, you know, what's going on during this period of time, because this is a very busy period for the NFL.
It is. Well, when a team season ends, the first thing that they do, coaches may take a day off or so, then they'll come back in and they'll grade their position. Position coaches will grade their position, every player in their team, and give an assessment of where they are as a player, you know, the importance of having them back, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, the coordinators do the same. So, obviously, teams that were eliminated from the playoffs, do the math, 5-6 weeks ago they started this. Two teams in the Super Bowl probably are just finishing that right now because we're a week out from the Super Bowl. The next step is to start looking at free agent tapes by position that your pro personnel department has, you know, put together their board, potential free agent, and you start to compare your guys versus free agents, and then, of course, you start to look at players at your position in the draft. Again, that's coordinated by your college scouting department. So, in essence, the running back coach, the secondary coach is comparing their own player to a player on another team to players coming out in the draft. And this is the process of which the coaches become involved in the draft process, where the scouting department has spent all year long evaluating pro and college players. Obviously, coaches in the league are focusing on their team. So it kind of comes together real fast if you have an extended run in the playoffs, which everyone wants to get to the Super Bowl. But it requires a lot of information to be done in advance. I know when a couple of trips when I've been a part of a Super Bowl team, we actually had free agent meetings the week leading up to the Super Bowl game, because you have to be prepared to get on with next season, even though this season's not even over yet.
Chris, from my understanding, at the end of the season as well, they schedule surgeries for all the guys.
Yes.
How does that fit into understanding who you got if you go in and you find something that's a little more alarming than something else in your draft status and all of that?
Well, it's a great point. Every player has an exit physical, and they go through, you know, head to toe on issues that they have, and they go through the whole background of the year. And you're right, they'll do MRIs, x-rays, whatever they need to do. And that is the time where if they need to get something cleaned up, tuned up, as we like to call it, you do it right now. It gives the maximum recovery time. There's some situations that medically the doctor says, this is going to heal, we don't need surgery. And then 6 weeks later, it hadn't healed right, and they got to have surgery anyway. So mistakes are made even medically, but that is important. And based upon that information from your doctors, you know basically what to expect, and the typical answer is, okay, tell me how will he be when it's recovered? Can this be fixed? And then, of course, you got to factor in, too, what type of work ethic the guy has in rehab. That's tough to rehab when, you know, no one likes to do that, but it's a real important part of your work ethic, and it does factor into whether you might want to move on from a guy or not. So it's And you know your guys where you don't know the entire injury situation with another player on another team.
You know, I think a great example of that right now is Le'Veon Bell with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, like, I mean, what is going to be the end diagnosis? Is he going to have surgery or not? And unless something happened today, you know, I heard he's already, you know, talking to three different doctors. And, you know, so is that a good example of what we're discussing right now?
Well, absolutely, because it put his situation in limbo. He's basically due to be a free agent. I think that the Steelers have to make a decision. A, can they get a deal done? B, do they put the tag on him? And he's got not only that issue that they're dealing with, and they're going to know obviously more about his medical situation, but the agent's going to be able to inform other teams. Here's what the doctors are saying. That's why he wants to do some independent doctors too, because the team doctors are not going to share that with another team, but getting some independent doctors may help him if he becomes a free agent to say, hey, look, this is the situation. This is what we expect. He's going to be fine. This is what the recovery period is. Of course, the other thing that factors into him is the off-the-field issues that he's had. And while he's an elite player, do you want to commit long-term to a player that, you know, historically has been out four games because of off-the-field issues with the not passing the drug policy. So I think you factor all of that in. And, of course, the other thing is when you evaluate players and you put an assessment on them medically and football-wise, you're also factoring in what is their monetary value with regards to the cap. And if that's out of whack, if he's due a large sum of money, okay, we're going to need him, get it reduced into this range, or we're going to move on. We'd like to extend him at this number. I mean, those are all big factors that come into it. It's not just as simple as we like him, we want him. Everybody has a budget. It's called the salary cap, and that's what you really have to focus in on and how you're going to go about strategically keeping as many players as you can, and again, weighing what is the value of a player that you have versus somebody else's, you know, players, which is often somebody else's problems. That all has to be factored in.
You, with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, another interesting take today. Don't know, I want to get your take on it. Vince Young says he wants to play again. He hires Lee Steinberg. Is that even a possibility for a guy like him to come back and be productive at the NFL level?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Again, he's saying he wants to be in shape, and a lot of guys want to do it. Can he do it? Yeah, it's possible. How likely is it? Very unlikely. I think that there's you know, we're just going to have to see a lot more than, you know, he wants to come back and he's hired Lee Steinberg. I mean, he's going to have to really wow people in workouts and really be able to sit down and convince them that he's maybe an answer and hey, I'm willing to come for the minimum and work my way in. You know, there's a lot of hurdles that he has to overcome before that's even a consideration.
Yeah. You know, here in the Bay Area, a lot of talk about the Raiders and their running back situation. And, you know, with Latavius Murray, it appears that, you know, he might be a guy that's on a different team next year because of what we were just talking about, salary cap issues. They have a very good offensive line. They have a prolific offense. When you have a team that has now retooled their offense with a good offensive line, does that change your thinking in the front office that I don't want to say running backs are a dime a dozen, but you know what? We can always get a good running back if we have a good line.
Well, I think backs usually make the line more than the line makes the back. However, they do work. And listen, I think what Reggie wants to do is keep his own. Latavius Murray's a very good back. But there's a price. And again, you know, the market dictates, and that supply and demand, who's available, that determines what a player makes, not how good is he relative to other players at his position. There's other players at his position that are better under contract. So, you know, you have to decide, this is where we're going to go with Latavius. This is the number. We don't want to go over it. And, you know, what I always did was, hey, this is what we can do. I completely understand if you want to let, you know, see what's out there and let the market dictate. And if you don't get what you want, come back to us. We'd love to have you back at this. Oftentimes the agent and the player prices themselves out. They think that they're going to get X and it's maybe not, 10%, 20% less than that. I mean, so I think that you can find other backs, but they'd like to keep them. There's no question that he grew up, Reggie did, in the Green Bay Packers system where you grow your own and you keep your own, but he's not going to be foolish about the back. I mean, he's going to go find another difference-making young guy and, you know, combine it with some change of pace guys like Rashard in Washington.
Chris, staying in the Bay Area with the 49ers, new coach in Kyle Shanahan, give maybe the 49ers fans a couple names that as a quarterback that might fit Kyle Shanahan and what he perceives that he wants to do as the new coach of the 49ers.
Matt Schaub's a free agent. He's a backup quarterback. He knows that system, you know, working with Kyle in Atlanta. I could see him being a part of whether it's a bridge, a short-term bridge, long-term bridge. I really don't know. I think you really are limited with him starting for the long term. But maybe combine him with a younger guy that you try to develop. It really is going to come down to, you know, what Kyle feels about these quarterbacks. There's not a lot out there. I'm sure they're going to sit there and discuss Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody that they had, I know Kyle liked coming out of Eastern Illinois. How much do you like him? How much are you willing to give up for him? Do you have any affinity for a Tyrod Taylor? Kyle, I can tell you, probably would not. I think that there's really not anything out the quarterback, in terms of free agency. You know, I don't see him getting overly excited about a Mike Glennon, but that's another guy that could be a bridge guy, a younger version of Matt Schaub, not as familiar with Kyle's system. So, listen, if you don't have a quarterback, if you're Cleveland, yeah, you're San Francisco, you're in bad shape. Would Kyle be interested in Jay Cutler? You know, because he'll likely become available. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. This is what you got. I mean, it ain't like, other positions where you got some people to choose from, and the draft is not all that spectacular, which is why, again, players are overdrafted at the position and they're, quote-unquote, overpaid relative to, again, what the market is. Look at what Kirk Cousins is likely going to get tagged again and make close to $25 million this year. Anybody thinks he's worth $25 million a year relative to other players in the league? Of course not. But guess what? Those other guys, Aaron Rodgers is a much better quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is not for sale. So if you don't have Kirk Cousins, what else do you have? And that's why he doesn't have a long-term deal, at least at this point. And they're just probably going to tag him again, bite the bullet this year, and figure it out at the end of next year.
Boy, I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers throwing left-handed than having Matt Schaub as quarterback of the 49ers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you that.
You know what, though? You don't get the left-handed discount, though.
Speaking of discounts.
It doesn't make him come out the door quicker. So.
Yeah. Speaking of discounts, and I think this is a phenomenal time for people to really get involved with LandryFootball.com, because to me, for the real football fan, I think this is when you have just so much phenomenal information on free agency, on the salary cap, and the upcoming draft. So let's talk a little bit about how easy it is for people to get LandryFootball.com.
Well, the discount code for this listeners are KHTK Sacramento, just as it's at KHTK Sacramento, all one word. And yeah, what we're doing, for example, we just talked about the Raiders. I just got the Raiders report up, the completed analysis of position by position of every team in the league, and putting a grade on every player. Then I'm going to have by position every player in the league graded, so that as a fan, you're out there, and free agency is, it morphs into, hey, this player's available, he re-signs with his team, this guy gets cut, released for cap reasons. So all of a sudden, you want to know about who's available. You'll have that list in front of you, you'll be able to look at it, and as players, come free, you can see where that guy graded out this past season. Of course, we'll have all the free agent information, and then, of course, all the draft boards and everything. So, yeah, it's a way to really learn about these players and how you really build your team. It's not just a simple list of the top five players at each position, which is really useless. It's okay, what players garner what grades? Who are the immediate starters and potential starters and guys that have a chance to make? And that's what we try to do for you in the draft boards, to give you a feel for what players and how they maybe compare to other players in the league and whether they can help your team or not. So that's what we do at LandryFootball.com, take you inside the film room.
That's awesome. Damn. We're talking with Chris Landry. I'm Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Doug, go ahead.
I was just going to say, damn, Chris, you sold me, man. I'm signing up, buddy. Done deal. Jerry Jones, Tony Romo, the thing that is that, I just had to ask, what's your take on how that ends?
They've got a very unique and close relationship, and that's a quarterback too that we'll have in there. And you're dealing with somebody that's upper 30s, injury prone. You got a number of injuries. You wonder if his body can get through a 16 game schedule. Do we know 100% that he wants to play next year? We think he does. How does it come out? Will they trade him? Will they out not release him and let him go where he wants? I mean, all those things are in play because of the close, unique relationship that he has. Where does he fit? Well, I mean, a place like Houston would make some sense, but how much are you willing to give up for him, and how much, what does he really want in terms of salary? Remember, they're on the hook for $17 million this year for Brock Osweiler alone. So exactly what are you getting with Tony? I think people just say, he'll do exactly what Peyton Manning did, go to Denver and they'll win and go to a Super Bowl. Not necessarily. We didn't know that Peyton would survive the season either, coming off the neck injury. But with Tony, we have a history that says he's probably not going to survive. So who's going to have a good enough offensive line and a good enough team Is he going to want to do that? He's not a fit to go to, you know, Cleveland. Is he a fit to go to Chicago? I mean, he's, you know, went to Eastern Illinois, but does he want to go there? They're kind of rebuilding. I mean, what does he want to do? I think a lot of things are unanswered to this point. What is going to be the compensation in terms of salary and the trade compensation versus if he's released? All those things are going to be fun to watch. A good storyline, but I don't know what you're getting if you get him. I think if you get him, you hope that, you know, you've got another option there and you're not counting on him. And if you get a full year out of him, man, that's just great. But I don't think you can expect it. If you expect it, then shame on you, because we know the history is that it won't likely happen.
I want to ask you about the 49ers and their defensive coordinator they hired. And I wanted to ask you, because I don't know if fans appreciate, you know, the difference between a 4-3 and a 3-4 when it comes to personnel. And this is his first time as being a defensive coordinator. But when you have DeForest Buckner and you have Eric Armstead, who, you know, are used to playing in a system, what do you see there? Do they – you know, that's their foundation.
Yes.
Can you talk to me from a defensive coordinator's perspective? Do you change your philosophy when you have guys like that, or do you coach your system and expect the players to adapt?
Well, I think you need to adjust your system to the players you have. And, you know, both of those guys are left ends in a 4-3. I mean, they were built for a 3-4 defense as ends, guys that can play two gap. Now, you can morph your fronts a little bit and be a 4-3 team and can play a little bit more gap control, just like Wade Phillips runs a 3-4 and plays more of a one-gap scheme. I think you're going to have to utilize that. They don't have the personnel to run a true 4-3, but, you know, they can adjust that. And those two players can play, but how effective can they be inside? I think
right.
Armstead can, but I think you're going to have to put him inside. And you know, one of them is going to have to play left end. And I think he can move it around a little bit. You know, keep in mind that most people, even the ones that play a 3-4 front, are playing 4-3 in nickel anyway. So I think it's a little bit overplaying. The biggest thing
gotcha.
Is not 4-3-3-4, but is it a two-gap front or a one-gap front? That really has a big determination of whether the players fit or not. And they are more fit for a two-gap front than a one-gap.
Good
Chris,
stuff. I'm gonna, yes, awesome stuff, Chris. Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, that's great stuff. The reason why I asked that before I let you go is, you know, fans hear 3-4, 4-3, and they go, okay, and they think, okay, well, they think they understand it, but then when you talk about personnel, so in a nutshell, I just want to follow up. You don't think it's going to be that big of an issue, right? Kyle Shanahan wouldn't have hired this defensive coordinator. I mean, you don't think it's that big of a deal. Is that what you're telling
me? Well, I think there's challenges involved with it. I don't think they have ideal 4-3 personnel, but, you know, you don't make that move if you're Kyle, if you don't have a real plan about, hey, both of those guys, Armstead, Buckner, are really good fits at tackle, at end, and at left end in a 4-3. I think they'll have a place for them, and, I mean, you have to. Those are two good players. If they don't and they can't adjust to it, then they've made a colossal mistake in terms of their philosophy,
okay.
and they're going to have to fix it. So it shouldn't be. But I'm not going to sit here and say it can't, because we don't have a track record for him as a coordinator.
Gotcha. Chris, great stuff. Enjoy the evening. And again, folks, I encourage everyone to go to LandryFootball.com, take advantage of that discount, and you can get prepared for all of the free agency. Everything going on, not only in the NFL, but college football with the upcoming draft, LandryFootball.com. Chris, always great to hear you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, guys. Take care. Talk to you soon.